This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
They don't have guests, they have contestants. 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt is the perfect game show and talk show hybrid that you need. Check out 10 Questions exclusively on Spotify.
Professional wrestling used to be just the big sweaty man business, but then you see the technical darling and the technical genius of a Bret Hart. That sort of paved the way for these future wrestlers. What's your colleague's name again, sir?
Flobo.
Flobo. You're going to acknowledge Bret Hart as the best there is, the best there was, and the best there will be, or I'm going to come put you in the sharpshooter.
Yes, yes, my people. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Mac Mania podcast, Mac Mania number 9, man. I got my people, man. I got real Jack Farmer. I got Flobo Boyce, man. But listen, man, I brought on one of the producers of the show, man. Brian Waters in the building. What's going on, baby?
What's going on? Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. Hey, hear it up.
real MVP of the show, by the way, the producers, making sure everything comes together right. Without you guys, it's just us rambling to ourselves.
Yeah, who's better, Brian Waters? Not Nada.
let me tell y'all something real quick, man. Let me tell y'all a story. Can I tell y'all a bedtime story real quick? I know y'all just woke up. I know it's like 3 o'clock in the morning over and over. But Listen, y'all. It was April 4th, man. It was 1993. It's Paradise, Nevada. It was Caesar's Palace. You see what I'm saying? Listen, man. It was WrestleMania 9. Now, Evan, why are you talking about WrestleMania 9? Listen, it's Mac Mania 9. WrestleMania 9. You see the symmetry? You see the connection? Listen, we had Gorilla Monsoon as the host. We had Jim Ross, Bobby Heenan, Randy Savage, Gene Oakland, Todd Pettengill. Look at all the people we had on the microphone. Listen, y'all. It's a story, man. It was a very underrated pay-per-view. We had Tatanka versus Shawn Michaels. Was sensational. Sherry Luna for Shawn. We had the Steiner Brothers. Mr. Hedge. Drinking. Listen, we had Razor Ramon, Bob Backlund, Doink the Crown, Crush, Money Inc., Mega Maniacs, Bruce Barber, BK, Hulk Hogan, Lex Luger, Mr. Perfect, The Undertaker, Giant Gonzalez, Yokozuna, Mr. Fuji, Hulk Hogan defeating Yokozuna. It was WrestleMania 9. Thoughts?
It's been a long time since Mr. Fuji dropped, but I don't. Jack,
yeah. No, this is one. It's so funny you say this. I'm not going to pretend like this has always been my favorite, but I will say, I think I said it last week, whenever I think of WrestleMania and someone talks about WrestleMania, this is the one I think of. The way it was built, the set, the way it looked, this is what a WrestleMania is supposed to look like.
You damn right.
Grand, talk about big. WrestleMania 9 was the presentation of what WrestleMania should look like.
And we had Finkus Maximus, Flobo Boyce.
Hey, man, look, I got to be honest with you. You mentioned WrestleMania 9 every single week on this show.
I said
we should sit down and watch it because I don't remember it being that great. I remember it being pretty okay. And I was like a kid then when anything was surprising and amazing. I was like, oh, okay, that was a good show.
Yeah, that's so. Probably what it is for me, though, all jokes aside. Yeah. You know, it's WrestleMania 9, it's Mania 9, man. Brian's like, Evan, it's Mania 9. You got to do WrestleMania 9. I was like, oh, Brian, that's a good idea, bro.
That's a good idea.
Flobo, to your point, it was, I think, an age thing because at that age, some of this stuff didn't make any sense. But yeah. I was like Hulk Hogan coming out at the end. I was like, "Yeah, Hulk Hogan." Man,
let me be nonsense. Listen, let me be clear, man. I was an idiot around WrestleMania 9. So what do I know? But one of the things I remember that was so great about it is they were training USA when Bret Hart came out and stuff like that. And Bobby Heenan was like, "He's from Canada, you idiots." You know what I mean? I remember Bret Hart.
true. Commentary. That was one of the moments I do remember. But yeah, man, it's, you know, I'm being facetious, of course. I was a fool when I was with, but WrestleMania 9.
It's good to hear somebody else that loves WrestleMania 9 as much as I do.
That's what I'm talking about, Brian. This is why I bought Brian on.
You know, I was sitting there watching. It's one of the, so back in the day, is the first pay-per-view my parents ordered for me. And It was one of those things that you watch the tapes over and over and over again. I think everybody knows, you know, we was recording pay-per-views. And It was the tape that I kind of know the commentary almost by heart.
It's crazy, right?
You know, and when you think about, like you said, the way of WrestleMania was supposed to look, it was the precedent, you know. We were supposed to get that with WrestleMania 7. We didn't, but, you know, live in Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada, you know, it brings joy to my ears.
See, look, it brings joy to his ears, y'all. MacMania 9, WrestleMania 9. I got my fellas with me now. I had something at the top. Now, listen, what was it? But Jack, talk to me, man. You had it up there, man. I had to actually listen to what I heard. I heard a little bit. There was something in the Twitter sphere. I took a listen. Can you talk to me about what's going on with Dwayne Johnson?
With Dwayne Johnson, The Rock dropping some bars on Tech N9ne's new song, Face Off.
Tech Nina.
That song, I'm telling you, I can hear it in your voice, Evan. I can hear the grumbling. You're not too happy. This song, it's silly, but it's a great workout jam, and The Rock is taking over the world. The Rock's just doing whatever he wants.
There ain't no taking over the world. He took over the world. What else do you need? How much real estate? How much property in Monopoly must you own?
You know what
right
it was?
Now, he's looking at the moon right now.
He has the railroads. He has it all. He's passed Go 700 times. How much of the Monopoly board do you need?
If The Rock runs for president, he's winning. Hands down.
He's soft with infrastructure, Jack. There's no way he's going to be president.
I love Dwayne Rock Johnson, man, for very, very many reasons. Back in the day when a person of color doing the thing, good looking, chiseled jaw, talented, A-list celebrity, he got to stay out of the booth. Has to stay out of it. He just has to for me, for the black community, for Jesus, for
Jesus is shaking his head.
He's like,
what? Do you think somewhere John Cena was like, who's the goat now, Rock?
Yeah. John was like, listen, man, bar for bar, I wish you would, bro. No, listen.
What?
Man.
Okay. Can I jump
what,
in?
Flobo, what, Flobo, boys?
I want to say, look, it takes a lot to do something like that, to go out of your comfort zone. And you know what? I blame each and every single one of y'all, because y'all was messing with Tech Nina back in the day. He wouldn't have to do things like this. So real it's tough. All your fault, rap fans.
Oh, that's true. Let's keep it a buck. Let's keep it a buck. Tech N9ne been in the game a minute, y'all. And where y'all been? Mm-hmm. Where y'all been? Y'all did Tech N9ne. Y'all been sleeping on Tech N9ne for talking about 20 years, though. We talking about maybe more than 20 years. Tech N9ne been in the game since I was watching WrestleMania 9. You know what I'm saying?
It's full circle. But y'all, for what it is, it's cool. I think it was cheesy, but it had a decent flow. I can't say he was offbeat or anything like that. It's very jock jam. 1998, and that's what's going to be. That's fine with me, man.
Come and ride the train.
But listen, the thing about it is, because I'm not the rap police. Everyone likes to be rap police, and everyone thinks they know bars, and they would hop in the booth and know what they were doing in the booth as well. And that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, you got to be careful when you go to the diner when they say they make Chinese food and steaks. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, even you can't be good at everything. It's something I would always say. You can't be good at everything you do. Not everything.
But to be fair, The Rock was in the booth of Slick Rick. Remember that song Pie from like 20 years ago? He did it before. And
then, WWE and talking about Slick Rick, the ruler.
But I'm saying that again, Brian.
I said WWE the Music Volume 5. You know, that was the headliner.
Yeah, it was called Pie. Yep. And looking back on it now, it's one of the most like sexist racist songs ever. But the point I'm saying is The Rock was never a 5-star to begin with, man. I was expecting get any kind of source level kind of a rap here. It's just rock and rock.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm cool with it, man. I told you, I ain't the rap police.
You're more a rap detective.
Yeah.
Like, one more thing. You gotta solve the tough crime.
Don't be mentioning the GOAT. Columbo, baby! Listen, that's we gonna start getting off on a tangent.
We're old, man.
Yeah, the more you appreciate Columbo, the older you are.
Right. Listen, I tell all these people listening to the Mac Media podcast to put on that Columbo, Lieutenant Columbo. Listen, niggas, this ain't no shade, but I'm just kind of speaking about for what it is. Like I said, I just think, you know, there's nothing wrong with staying in your lane and stuff like that. But at the same time, what the hell am I gonna say to Dwayne the Rock Johnson? Let's keep it a buck, man. Everybody out there throwing shade, just they wish they were him, man. So listen, I ain't coming up on the Mac Media podcast, especially when I want his ass on the podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's not act like we're not going to backpedal if he asks us about it. If I ever meet The Rock, he's like, hey.
Oh, I'll be like, yo, that joint was fire.
Dude, that was so good.
Fired man, up, man. I am. My veins.
I skip the rest of it and go right to your part.
Damn, Tech Nine. Listen, so we can.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yo, quick recap on the news of the world, man. Jackie bought me some good stuff, man. Talk to me about this Roman Reigns thing, brother.
Yeah, Forbes was reporting that apparently they're saying that right now Roman Reigns, even though he's a ne'er-do-well, a bad guy, someone we're not supposed to like on the show, sources are saying that he's still selling merchandise at a John Cena level. John Cena, obviously known as the guy who is like the king of selling merchandise. And here we have Roman Reigns, who's basically being a jerk to people, and he's still selling merchandise at their level. It's incredible to me that he's able to do that. And especially, you know, as everyone's always wringing their hands about ratings being lower than they used to be before, but somehow Roman Reigns is still moving as much merchandise. I think it's incredible. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. And also, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. If Roman Reigns keeps at this level, how long does he have to stay at this level before he bumps off one of your Mount Rushmore picks?
Oh. He was buried like a heavy question into that.
Brian, let me start with you before I address that poppycock.
So when you think of Roman Reigns, right, you think of a guy who WWE literally wanted us to cheer for. They wanted him to be the heir apparent to John Cena. Mm. And while it was not working, it took, I believe, for us to dislike him, to love him this much. We have a deeper appreciation, especially considering we almost didn't have him wrestling anymore because of what happened with leukemia. And for him to come back and do what he's doing during the pandemic, and then after the pandemic was over, you know, well, maybe not over, but we had to see him do all that he was doing in front of the in front of the empty arenas. We had to see that in front of people and see him interacting with the fans. To me, he's on his way to being one of the greatest of all times. And I think, you know, he already did 4 straight WrestleMania main events, which tied Hulk Hogan. I think if he does another 4 in a row, he's bumping somebody off the Mount Rushmore.
Damn. Whoa. Now, listen, you know, it's interesting. It's now before anyone freaks out and panics and talks about that being hyperbole or that being crazy, it's one of those things where look where he's at right now. Look what he's doing with that. Now, if you can't gauge something, and you're talking about with the top brass thing, you know, you can gauge merch. You can gauge merch sales. So somebody's buying those shirts. And yeah, typically that's a fan base that's buying that merch, whether you quietly like Roman Reigns in the comfort of your own home and pretend like you don't when you're in public, or you just outward like Roman Reigns, like Brian Waters, be repping that bloodline shirt. I've seen you with your family, baby.
Indeed.
Like, I just hold up that number one while I'm sleeping. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's one of the people roll their eyes because he told you he was the guy. So that's why you're rolling your eyes. It literally goes back. It kind of connects to the old vaccine thing. Like, if I'm telling you to take it, like, oh, I don't want to take it now because you're telling me to take it. You're telling me to do it, so it must not be good. I'm telling you, Roman Reigns is that dude. You're like, oh, no, he ain't that dude. And that's what's bothering people. What's bothering people is you didn't get to pick him from this indie arena and, like, Poughkeepsie. You know what I mean?
Shout out to Poughkeepsie. That place is weird.
Yo, shout out to Poughkeepsie. No, but that's what's really bothering people, though. What's bothering is people, they didn't choose him. They didn't anoint him. He anointed his damn self, and he's here, and he's better than ever. What's killing y'all. I know it. Anyone that's hating Roman, that's why. That is exactly why, because he's better than ever.
It's in the article in Forbes, they mentioned that what's really impressive is that he is, as they say, a heel. But I want to argue that. I don't think he's a heel. I mean, he acts like kind of a jerk sometimes, but when he says, acknowledge me, the crowd always goes nuts for it. They love it. They never boo him. They're into it. He's NWO.
They used to boo it.
Yeah. But to your point, yeah, I think Vince McMahon, instead of saying, yeah, he's the next guy, he should have done the old sales thing. Like, hey, I got this really great guy named never mind. He wouldn't be for you. You wouldn't like him. And then they'd go, wait, no, I might like it. Who is he? I don't know. You sure? I don't know. Like, no, tell me. I'm sure I'd love him. Well, since you want me to tell you,
I'm telling you that's what it is, man. One of my superpowers, man. Listen, is I know box office. I realized as I was trying to make it as a professional athlete that maybe I wasn't the guy that should have been on the front of the camera or on the screen or on the court. I should have been the guy that can evaluate talent because I'm really good at this kind of stuff. I'm serious. Like, that dude's box office, man. I got a box office meter. Roman's box office, man. He literally checks every single box when it comes to a professional wrestler, whether you guys like it or not. And anyone that hates on him, if he walked into the room, you guys wouldn't be able to say anything to him.
Yeah.
Because he has a presence, man. I'm telling you, he just does. And it's one of those things where I am a little surprised he's approaching John Cena numbers, to be honest with you. But should I be?
One of the things he's good at is not only does the shirts look cool, you can wear one of those shirts in a bar and not be a wrestling fan. You know, I had a friend said, fellas, wear a shirt that says acknowledge me, thank me later. And the thing that he's been doing too, he has Jack said that he's not necessarily a heel, but here's the thing, he can go out there and still make you really cheer and sympathize for the good guy. You think back to the stint with his cousins and how we were all drawn in emotionally. Even with Kevin Owens, we had seen Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns go back and forth enough, but we still was interested in pushing for Kevin Owens. So he has that ability to still, he's the cool heel, he can still make you boo him to cheer for the good guy.
So, well, I know you're a character guy, man. I know. What do you think about the evolution of his character?
Well, I mean, it's for me, when it comes to Roman Reigns, I was always at least neutral. So I never hated him. So, like, I don't know from that point of view, but, like, what I liked about Roman before was that he was okay with being the heavy. So many times we had heavy characters that had to do the frown or whatever. Roman just stood still and stoic. And I think that's what made it compelling to me at first. This evolution now is important in a bunch of ways. You talk about how Baron Corbin and Nia Jax are good heels because they make you go, I don't want them to win. But what makes Roman a compelling character is that despite what he does, his moral code does not change. He does things for his family. He feels the pressure of providing for his family and will do whatever it takes, which people see themselves in all the time. Going to that job they hate, dealing with that stupid boss. It's like, I got to do things for my family. And when it says you have shirts that goes, show up and win or wreck everyone and leave, to Brian's point, those are things you could all get behind. That's Austin 316 for the modern era, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to argue, man. Like I said, I know. Listen, he's a topic of discussion for a reason. You know what I mean? It's that's a bad boy, man. Go Jack, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to your point about a star power, I've said this before, I recommend anyone who doubts this kind of stuff do this. Just take different wrestlers' entrances and show them to someone who doesn't watch pro wrestling. And
this
just
is
ask
a good
them,
gauge.
Does this look like a superstar? Or do you think this person is a big deal, or are they a nobody? And you will get
That's
shocking
a great question.
Answers. And you will get people who you say that, no, this guy's really great, and you show them to your friends who don't watch wrestling, they're like, eh, they seem okay. But if you show them Roman Reigns,
That's
they
fair.
Always go, this dude's a big deal. This guy's special.
Yeah.
It's the old detective movie, you know, when something happens to the family member, like they take him off the case. You're too close to this. I can't keep you on. That's what wrestling fans are. They don't realize that you guys are too close to their product. You're passionate. You love the product so much, so you can't see the forest for the trees. You have to ask a casual viewer, a person that doesn't watch the product, that I'm telling you, you'd be surprised at who the casual viewer thinks is box office. And Roman gets the casual people and he gets the diehards, man. He's a Floyd Mayweather. Either you show up to watch him lose, or you show up to watch him win, but he moves the meter.
There's one more thing on this, but I know we got over on time. But when it comes to character beats and moments, what I liked about The Rock as a kid, when he was a champion, he used to walk with the belt behind him. Not in a disrespectful way, but a way to say, I'm the people's champion. This acknowledges me as well. Mm. So you see Roman Reigns come out by himself, the long entrance. We talked about how time is currency in WWE programming. Come out with the long entrance with a handout. Does it ask for a mask or the title? You go, oh my gosh, this guy knows how important he is. And that's when people go, this guy's dope. Like, I want to be part of this guy's party or his bloodline or his group or whatever.
And I would love to have him on this show to ask him, because in my opinion, I don't think he knew that in the beginning. I don't think I seen that on the screen. I don't think I seen that in his interviews. I don't think he knew he was that dude, even though they said he was. You know what I mean? There's someone telling you you're the guy, and then there's you believing you're the guy. And I'm telling you, I feel that the aura, man. I feel that he feels he is that guy now. I think he was trying to convince himself before. You know what I mean? But I think he's firmly in the catbird seat, the driver's seat right now, man.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
And finally, Jack, I seen you have something else down here, man. Talk to me about what's going on with FS1 going a half hour later.
Yeah, so as everyone has seen, people who are on Twitter, they know all about this already. SmackDown going on FS1, but they're doing a Super SmackDown going an extra half hour. What makes it interesting is that it's now going to be going head-to-head against AEW Rampage. For me, it's always been teased, but I feel like this is the start of that big AEW-WWE war that everyone talks about. And I think so because after it was announced, Tony Khan, he hops on Twitter. He doesn't pull any punches, and he says, I saw you're doing a half-hour head-to-head with us. I can't wait to finally beat your main show head-to-head. It's been a long time coming. See you next Friday. Now, I think that the odds are that SmackDown's going to get better ratings. It's got 2 million a week, typically, on Fox to Rampage's typical 500,000. Right. But the fact that now WWE is saying that last half hour is commercial free, this isn't an accident. This isn't something we can
act, no.
We can act like they don't acknowledge AEW, but this is WWE, I think, officially saying, we're going to take a little shot. This is that moment I feel like in movies where the two people who don't like each other walk by each other and the one guy hits him with his shoulder and knocks the other guy back. I think this is WWE kind of bumping their shoulder against AEW. And, I mean, everyone picks sides, but I love conflict. I like when companies go at it.
Tony conflict. Did you say that?
I like it. I like it when this kind of stuff happens. So I'm here for it. I'm excited. If I'm a betting man, I say SmackDown's probably going to win the ratings here. But if I think it's fascinating, I think it's very interesting because I think it's going to make everyone start to do a little bit more than they were doing before.
Boba shaking his head in silence. I don't know where his mind is at right now. I don't know what he's
I'm shaking my head and knocking my head against the chair. Look, man, I'm not a hater of Tony Khan. Yo, you got a product, promote it the best way you can. Everyone sees you. But what are you doing, man? Like, don't you got a company to run? Look, SmackDown this time last year, I think it did 800,000 because of the World Series or the playoffs. They were on FS1.
Sports is popping right now.
Yeah, sports is popping. So I understand Fox being like, yeah, we're not going to deal with that. That's the same reason why we got
the World Series is always one of the best times of the year.
And people hate baseball. Think about that. So I understand that. But come on, man. To say that, yo, your admitted B-show is going to be like, oh, we're going head-to-head with SmackDown. You're just doing it for the Twitter like. You're doing it for the clout. And it may be dangerous. It may be dangerous in the long run. Because if you do this and fail, like when Impact moved to Monday nights 10 years ago, then you'd be like, oh, that one time you took that side of your face. But at the same time, maybe in the chat would say, Flobo's a homer. He's supporting WWE. If you're WWE, you're going to push to FS1. Best be dang sure you're going to come up with something new to get people to come across that channel. Because FS1 is deep, deep into everyone's cable packages.
That's real.
I think it's can't lose. It's can't lose for AEW. I think it's smart as a promotional tool. I think it's incredibly smart. Because if they don't get as many ratings, everyone's gonna be like, well, yeah, they were a smaller show to begin with. It's a B show. It's not as big of a show. They've never had ratings close to them. Who cares? So if they lose, if they get blown out, everyone's like, yeah, they're just talking trash. But if it's close, if it's even close, it's going to make people go, huh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But at the same time, I like what AEW was doing their thing, though. Like, just put it like this. I don't like that they worry about WWE as much as they do. Everyone's saying
you guys are lame. You're losers.
No, hold on. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm going to cut you off. You go talk soon. But I've never gone to a store to buy soda, and I said, hey, look, let me buy a Coke. And on the label it goes, it's not Pepsi. Be your own product, man. What are you doing? It's two years in the game.
No, you're wrong.
This is where I agree.
Pepsi
this
says it all the time. They put down Coca-Cola.
20 years ago, they changed their game up.
Right, yeah. Right now, they are literally doing chicken commercials, making fun of other companies for doing chicken sandwich commercials. Other companies make fun of other companies all the time. Well, hey,
this is my thing though. But a lot of those companies aren't in their infancy though. They're not in their infancy. AEW is in its infancy. This is my only problem. Like I said, because I think they both can live. Like I said, I don't do the Marvel versus DC thing. I think because if you keep it a buck, you know, Marvel has stolen a million things from DC, even though Marvel fans don't like to admit that. Detective Comics is older than Marvel, and they influence a lot of people that started writing for Marvel. But like that's another story for a different day. But what I'm trying to say is, why don't you just do your product? Like, everyone goes, AEW is living rent free in WWE's head. I go, it's the opposite.
Yes,
it's the opposite, guys. Just do your show. You got a great product.
It's more fun when you take shots at other people.
It's only fun when you don't miss.
You're supposed to shoot to kill. I disagree completely.
Coming at the king and keep missing. By assassination way, attempt like, and missing.
You had the Nacho Man on WWE back in the day. You had Fake Diesel back in the day. Let's not act like this is the only time it's ever happened. Let's not act like the king, quote unquote, wasn't doing it themselves at one point. This is fun. It's fun watching these guys go at it. It's fun watching these two things happen. Companies do it all
but
the time.
But are they going at it?
They are now. This is WWE.
Are they?
I don't think they were. I think this is WWE's first time saying, okay, we need to do something. You could even argue, I think NXT going to USA was a bit of that. But I think this
I agree
is,
with that.
This yeah, is, awesome. I think WWE. I think this is WWE saying, okay, now we're going to turn the big guns on this and do something about this. And like I said, I'm not naive. I don't think that Rampage is going to pull 2 million viewers this week.
But
it's fun. Who cares? Like it's fun when you're watching sports and one team takes a shot at another team. It's fun when a boxer takes a shot at a MMA guy. It's fun when this kind of stuff happens. It's enjoyable. Like you look back at all the most exciting times in pro wrestling, it was during the Monday Night Wars. They don't call it the Monday Night Wars because they ignored each other. They call it the Monday Night Wars because they were taking shots.
Like I said,
that's
the only real example because it was a perfect storm of things that were going on, man. And it's a time in history that is to be talked about and cherished. But let's be real, man. They're over.
Yes,
the Monday Night Wars are over. And them overextending themselves at WCW is what cost them. Because they were too worried about WWE because Vince always runs a marathon.
That's not what cost WCW.
What? Are you kidding me? They were doing the craziest shit. What are you talking? They were doing crazy stuff. They were giving all the power to the old guys. They were doing all kinds of crazy, ludicrous shit
there. Was so much stuff going on in WCW.
Bad management.
But it wasn't because they were trying to beat WWE. It was stuff like the sale of it was like AOL buying Time Warner. It was a whole bunch of stuff.
It was bad management.
Well, one of the things too that was different about the Monday Night Wars was Vince McMahon was literally fighting for his life. Now, you know, they're not fighting for, nobody's fighting for their life, you know. And the thing is, when you see what AEW is doing, first of all, they put in the tape show up against the big guns. And so Tony Khan, he's just talking. But another thing, when you look at the guys who leave WWE, they all leave in a respectful way, you know, with the exception maybe one or two may have something to say when they go there. Yeah, but they all leaving, and so he's kind of looking like he's on an island by himself, like, you know, it's kind of like that friend that's going out there saying, yeah, we're going to beat you guys, but then everybody's like, nah, they're actually my family, but I want to play with you for right now. And that's the way he looks.
Yeah. But
you know, that's
the voice of reason, Brian Water.
No, but that's how wrestling is. You're supposed to make things sound like they are important, and it's a battle. That's how the whole process works. You guys, the technical term for what you guys are being right now, that's a scientific term. Uh-oh. It's called fuddy-duddy. That's what you guys are being.
I'm the biggest fuddy-duddy. I am the stick in the mud. I am that wet
blanket. I'll be with you. I'm on the flying
ointment. Because of what WCW was, Jim Crocker Promotions and NWA, that had their own legacy. WWE was the thing in the North region, had their own legacy. For three years, they intersected. AEW from day one was like, we are not them. And you do that. You can't describe what you are by saying what you're not. And they're still figuring out what that is. And so when Tony Khan does that, I'm like, bro, run your company. That's all
run
I'm
your
asking.
Company, bro.
Not at all. You're totally off base. By the way, WCW was its own thing. What are you talking about?
No, they were, he's not.
They
no.
They couldn't fill seats. They were giving away seats. And they just had a bunch of people trying to get out of the sun to get in their shows. They weren't their own thing. They weren't this massive thing. WCW was nothing until they started taking shots at WWF. And that what made them grow was the NWO coming over saying, we're leaving the WWF and coming to WCW. That's literally
They left because they didn't get their way at WWF.
That may be the case, but the promotion
that is the case.
But the promotional side of it is you want to take shots at the top guy.
How'd that work out for WCW?
They beat WWE for 83 weeks.
But see, and that's what everyone talks about. 83 weeks, that's all they beat them. That's it.
Look, I'll tell you right now. If we could get this show to beat WWF in ratings for 83 weeks by making fun of WWF, hell yes, I'm
absolutely
taking
that.
I'm
all about the marathon. With all due respect to 83 weeks, everyone talks about that 957 years ago. WWE is still here.
Let me ask you this though. All the people that were part of WCW before those 83 weeks, right?
WWF guys.
Look at everyone in that locker room. Look at Rey Mysterio. Look at everyone from before that. Do they have more money after or before the 83 weeks?
I don't know.
Do you think
they don't have money?
If they could trade it, I'm sure they'd say take it every time that they would take the money from the 83 weeks, as opposed to the audiences that are filled with people coming in off the street to get out of the sunlight.
My only problem with this whole thing is you're comparing that Monday Night War to this. That's crazy, bro.
The thing is, too, that's like crazy. I said,
That's the only other time we have to compare it to.
This is my point. This is the problem. It's not even close to that. It's not even close. They're too young. They're too young, bro. They're too young.
Agreed.
They might be there. What I'm trying to say is this is my only problem. This is not about AEW. I actually like the product. My problem is you're jumping the gun. There's no war yet. There's no war yet.
Yes.
They're literally just getting to the spot of the war. They're not even in the parking lot yet.
So why do you think WWE then is extending SmackDown for a half hour commercial free with two of their biggest stars on a Friday night on a show on a channel that's not their usual channel.
Because this is
them trying to take a shot back at AEW. Again, just like when NXT moved to USA. This is not just a random whoopsie daisy seems to be at the same time. Is it a war? I don't know if I'd say it's a war, because you're right. The numbers aren't even equal. But to act like WWE doesn't care is crazy. And to act
I'm
like
sure
this
they,
isn't
I'm sure they're paying
them
attention.
Promotion. This is working for AEW. People are noticing. People are realizing, like, they are putting their name with them. And the more that WWE responds, the more that the general public, the casual fan that we all talk about, sees them more as equals when they are both brought up in the same conversation.
My thing is the numbers were increasing because the product was different than WWE, not because they're trying to talk about WWE.
Right, exactly.
Their numbers to me are increasing because Tony Khan's doing the business and giving you something that WWE no longer gives you. That is to me why the numbers are increasing, because it's been a slow grind for 2 years and he's been building it up very, very slowly. That to say that he's getting this because WWE shots is crazy to me. I don't think that's what it is at all.
That's
I think
all
he's just,
it is.
But I just think he's literally just doing what a good businessman's doing.
Agreed.
Giving you a different product, giving you something different to sink your teeth into, and being your own brand. That to me is what make when Pepsi stops saying I ain't worried about Coke, I'm just gonna make Pepsi products.
Yes.
No. That's
all we're gonna do.
That's where you're wrong, though. Look, I agree.
Really?
I agree that their product. You're right. What they're doing is great. That's keeping the eyeballs.
It's different.
But no one's gonna walk in the door if they don't know you're in business. That is what promotion of a promoter is. And that is what the tweets, that is what shooting the shots are. If you're the casual fan that we all talk about day in and day out, how do you get new fans? This is what you do. If you're just doing a show without actually telling people we are the alternative, then no one's going to tune in. You're saying right now the reason that their numbers are growing is they're offering an alternative to the WWE.
Yes.
But if you don't say we are the better alternative to the WWE, no one knows you're the better alternative to the WWE.
Oh, I can say a bunch of things, Jack. That don't mean it's true. You know what I mean? I think the only way to show somebody you're good at something is to prove it, not say it. Because where I'm from, the people that talk the loudest ain't really shit, to be honest with you. So what I'm trying to say is him keep telling me that, I'm like, okay. Like that's how I'm wired. Like, you telling me something, that's propaganda. You a billionaire. Your ass need to be doing billionaire things. What are you talking about? What you tweeting for? I don't think a billionaire should tweet anyway, to keep it a buck, to keep it real.
That is how you get people. If no one talks about it, no one knows it exists. You could have the very great, there could be the very best wrestling show in Poughkeepsie right now that is blowing everyone out of the
water.
Shout
out to Poughkeepsie.
No, I don't do it.
If no one says this is the best wrestling show, no one's going to tune into it. You have to say you're the best wrestling show.
I don't go into the diner that says world best steak. I don't go in there.
Dude, there is a world's best coffee sign in every diner across
America. And I don't go in any of them. I don't believe none of y'all. Y'all are lying.
That's because you DoorDash. But
real talk. I'm a Grubhub guy. But no, listen. I guess I told you I want nobody, because I want anybody to think I'm taking shade. I'm just saying I just think Homeboy should just, you know, keep his head to the grindstone and just keep it moving, man, and keep doing you, boo boo. Keep doing you. Stop worrying about the Goliath.
And there's a lot of people keeping their nose to the grindstone, and no one's ever heard of them.
And they quietly make money and do well.
Right. But they don't make billions. I'd love to know a billion-dollar company no one's ever heard of.
There's more than you think.
Yeah, there's a lot of. Look, I want your opinion on this one, Brian. But for me, watching AEW, is why I don't watch it live, is that you telling me that it's the alternative and promotion's part of it. I'm not knocking what Jack's saying. It's completely true. But that's all you're doing. Like, being the elite and the show is just a bunch of WWE references. If I'm watching you because you're the alternative, I'm in the door. What else do you have promotion-wise? That's all I'm asking. So I'm like Evan, the company is great, the product is better, it's on the rise. Just give me something else. Okay, I'm already watching now. All right,
I'm on board.
You got me. So what else? Well, we're better than them. We're so better than them. It's like, okay, you crashed a party. We all know we invited you in.
You have crashed.
Now
we got
what?
You.
Now what? You know?
The show is not all, like, if you watch the show, if you're someone who says, I watch the show and all they do is talk about WWE, you're not watching the show. Because that's not what it's about. At all. A few people, you may get a reference once or twice.
I do know the Mac Mania podcast has just gotten taken over by this because of a tweet about WWE.
So I think right now that worked for him, right?
No, what I'm trying to say is no, because this is a good conversation and people are going to like our conversation, and I'm a businessman, just like Tony Khan should be.
But is that not it? We're taught, if he didn't tweet it, if he did what you said, there would be no discussion of AEW on the Mac Mania
podcast. I'm just saying, I don't know. Because I try to get in it as much as I can. I'm not just going to talk about AEW just because people want us to talk about AEW. They have to do something for me. You know, until they take this power away from me, I'm not going to just say, well, he didn't talk about it. Well, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't want to talk about it until they do something. Do something.
I think, you know, those times,
so congratulations, you tweeted, so now we'll talk about it. But make no mistake, I got a rundown over here. I could have changed subject, but this is a pretty good topic.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Look, there's a million things to talk about. It's pro wrestling. But to your point, you're saying he shouldn't be tweeting because it doesn't work. Yet here
billionaire
we are.
Should not tweet. This if is my new rule. Billionaire should not tweet.
The fact that we are talking about it on this show
means nothing.
Shows that it worked because we are talking. If he did not tweet, we would not have brought it up. It wouldn't have come up. We wouldn't have had this conversation.
I've tried to get in AEW stuff.
Maybe there is a person. Now there is a person who's maybe listening to this that's saying they got all heated about this conversation. Maybe I'll check it out. Now, to Flobo's point, once
that's
they
because
watch,
of me and you arguing.
Yeah,
it's because that means Tony Khan's ass need to hire me because I can sell. I can put butts in seats.
Well, that we agree on.
The Mac Mania podcast, I can put butts in seats, Tony Khan.
No, that we agree on. But I'm just saying, this is
good stuff. No, it's a good conversation, man. It is, all jokes aside.
Tweet. Now, as far as to Flobo's point, though, what they do on the show, that's a whole different conversation. You know, that to me gets down to different strokes for different folks. If you like AEW, if you don't like AEW,
yeah, that's what to me what's so great about it, though. It's a place you go. It's an acquired taste of food it's a bygone era of pro wrestling, and they're tapping into that, which I think is their strongest sales point. Not that we're not WWE. No, that we're doing. This is what we do. I can come up on the middle of the ring and I can cuss. We can do this. Britt Baker will bleed. You know what I'm saying? We're doing things that they're not doing, but not mentioning it, but just doing things they're not doing, which to me is what's so great about the product. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I think the show is great. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I was gonna say that's what it comes down to. Just, you know, we want to see them do them on in the ring or on promos. But you know, sometimes I do think that stuff is unnecessary, some of the tweets, but I understand what you're saying, Jack. You know, it is kind of, you know, it does give us some little conflict that makes it fun to watch, but sometimes, like I said, Tony Khan just seems to be on an island by himself. The difference in during the 83 weeks, everybody seemed to be invested. Everybody shots at everybody, you know, whether it was Hall and Nash, they was with Bischoff. They was telling Bischoff behind his closed doors, hey, you ain't gonna take out Vince McMahon, but together they stood as united front. When you got other wrestlers going on podcasts saying, yeah, you know, Vince was good to me and Triple H was good to me, and they told me if any you hear anything, that's lies. That's where it seems like Tony Khan's on an island by himself.
Well, yeah. I think people are different in how they present themselves to the public outside of the show than they were back then anyway.
Oh, that's damn true.
People are a lot more open about how they really are.
That's damn true.
So that's I get your point. That's fair. I get your point there. I think that if you're going to run a company in anything, you're going to say you're the best at it. And if you have if you work in an industry where there's one pure leader, like let's say if this is a fast food restaurant, you're like, hey, we're the best fast food ever, everyone's gonna say, are you better than McDonald's? And you're gonna say, yeah, we're better than McDonald's.
I like that. That's good. I hear what you're saying. But like this is the thing, man. Like this, I got a new rule, man. Billionaires shouldn't tweet, man.
I mean, let's be honest.
I made it up in my mind. It just rubs me the wrong way. Somebody that makes worth $1 billion over here, like tweeting, hitting send. But Evan, what do we do then? I would have a tweet guy, and I'd pay him like $200,000 a year, and he'd be walking around with his chest puffed out, like, what the hell you do for a living? Like, yo, I tweet for Evan Mac. That's what I do.
What, you got $1 billion now?
Like, it'd be a no. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, if I was a billionaire, I employ this brother, man. I take him off the streets, you know what I mean? And he's over, and I clean him up real nice, and his only job would be just to tweet for me.
And you know what I mean?
I'm dreaming. Shout out to Flo. Yes, but he has to represent me the way I want to represent. Listen, this show is taking on a life of its own, man. That's okay, but we're going to get to the one thing next week, man. That's why I love this kind of stuff. It's called organic. It was organic growth. But that doesn't mean I can't get into something real sultry, real sexy, real passionate, real intense, real informative. I call it D-Lo Appreciation.
Oh, D-Lo Appreciation. You know, let's talk about that chest protector. You know what I'm saying? Something we haven't really talked about before on the show. It's become synonymous with D-Lo besides his talent, his looks, his neck swivel, his moveset, his championships, and his longevity in the business. That chest protector, how'd it come about? I wonder why D-Lo wore it. I thought it was something fashionable. Maybe it was that Beast Dan Severn thing. It turns out that was actually a work. You know, according to Bleacher Report, he said that he was hesitant when he was pitched the idea of wearing the chest protector. The idea was being that this splash would be a lot more impactful with the protector on. In fact, he talked it with his fiance at the time and was like, oh, I don't know. I'm wearing this thing. It looks kind of silly. And there's a guy named Flobo who's a kid that likes to go to the pool with a shirt on. I want to do it for him. And his girlfriend's like, yo, it's a crazy idea. You should probably try it. If it fails, it'll be on them. But if you don't try it, and if it fails, it'd be on you. So think about this. Remember being a guy with a honed moveset, being the guy with not looking for something that makes you stick out. And you put on a piece of fabric and it becomes synonymous with you and your brand. And now look, sometimes people get gimmicks. You all remember Baron Corbin's vest. Remember yep. Perry Saturn's moppy. Yep. Remember Rene Dupree's dog Fifi. Yep. It takes a lot to take something off the rack to make it work. Mm. And now when you buy a D-Lo action figure, it's worth more with that chest protector. That's taking chicken crap and making chicken salad. And that's this week's D-Lo Appreciation.
D-Lo Appreciation, shout out to the chest protector, D-Lo Brown.
Yeah.
When I remember D-Lo Brown, I still remember him with the chest protector. That's how I would imagine.
Absolutely. Ooh. That's the image. That's the image in your mind. Absolutely. 100%. When you think D-Lo, you think of the head bob and you think of the chest protector. That's what you think of, man. So that's good stuff, man.
What a cool story. It's funny how close people probably get to missing something that is going to be iconic for them or whatnot.
Yeah, we were talking about this on our other show about Cameron Grimes' hat. Like, he's got a hat and made a hat work.
Whatever that carny thing, I don't necessarily like that. Sometimes I think the word gimmick kind of diminishes somebody's brilliance as character work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, that word kind of gets used like kind of flippant, and you're like, oh, but to me, it's that dude's whole persona, that vest and that hat. When he was in that butler outfit, it just didn't hit the same. That's how you know what he was doing was working. When you missed those two items, a vest and a hat, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, that's not Cameron Grimes. And you long for that look to come back. So I think it's a disservice sometimes when people make things like that, like articles of clothing, a part of them. You know what I mean? What's Mr. Perfect without the towel, man? I really don't know.
Or the gum. Yeah.
Or the gum. Let's be real. Like, those two things, man, are synonymous with that guy, man. So shout out to D-Lo, man. D-Lo Appreciation, MacMania 9, WrestleMania 9.
Come on the show, D-Lo. We love you.
D-Lo, come on.
You're looking at the real deal.
And before we wrap this up, man, I want to take all you lovely people that are listening to the MacMania podcast to the Farmer's Market.
Yes, the Farmer's Market, of course. This is where we act like if a wrestler was a stock, whose time is it to buy? It's Tony Khan. No, I'm just joking. No,
Sal. You're part of Fulham. Sal.
Stop tweeting, man. You're rich. Go.
As we talk about the Farmer's Market, first of all, can we talk about my success rate so far? I say it's time to pick up.
You last week.
To my point, I said pick up stock in Braun Breaker, and the next week he gets an NXT title shot announced. I say it's time to pick up Gable Stevenson, and the next week he's drafted by Raw. I said it was time to buy stock in Big E, a guy who was already the champ. How could he go higher? Well, later that week, we see him in the hype video for Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Whose stock?
Acknowledge him.
Whose stock is it? Look, hey, you guys are like, hey, well, why would you buy it now? Look,
that's how we did it. Like,
that's how we did it.
It's true. It went up. So whose stock is about to go up next? Simple. Jinder Mahal. His win on Monday Night Raw will be the first of many to become the new King of the Ring. And what makes this a great value as well is on Monday, Jinder sat in the throne, which is a usual kiss of death in the tournament, which means people are probably selling that stock right now. But he's going to go through Woods. He's going to beat Balor, and he's going to become the new Maharaj of the mat.
Wow. Now, listen, before I even go, I'm a bye, because I love Jinder, man, for many, many, many reasons that we will discuss at a different show. But you're going to be very wrong about this, but I'm going to be very mad that you're going to be very wrong about this. Because I want that. King Jinder, baby.
Jinder's going all the way with it.
Bye.
Oh man. So here's what, on paper, I'm thinking King Balor or King Woods, right? Everyone knows that Xavier Woods wants to be King of the Ring.
Yeah, yada yada yada. I want to be president.
And Finn Balor, King Demon King, why not? I'm all about it. But
which is the better shtick, but go ahead.
I agree with you. But that tournament is historically won by heels. And King Jinder would be the most agitating winner ever. So therefore he could do it. I gotta say bye this week.
Yeah, because here's the thing. It's not just the type of person that wins it. It's like, when you think about the type of person, I mean, it's who's going to be the annoying person with the crown, right? Who's gonna bug you the
can
most?
Can you imagine him and walking around? Oh.
And King, it's Jinder Mahal. And also, could you imagine how big his entrances would be when you think about when he was champion? If you remember his entrances as champion, how great those were. Now imagine him as king. Right now, a lot of people, like I said, sitting in the throne is usually the kiss of death. If they sit in the throne, it usually means it ain't happening.
Right.
I think he's going to break that trend. And I think this is the time to get on board with the Maharaj, which, by the way, means prince also.
Is that Brian Waters' final word on Farmer's Market? Do you buy or sell?
Is that crazy?
Jinder Mahal.
I think this is it's now or never for Jinder Mahal. I think now is the time. I'm going to buy it, you know. Baron Corbin did sit in the throne as well, and I was thinking the same thing at that time. I was right there when he first sat there, and, you know, he became King Corbin, and he did a great job with it. What better presentation would it be? I mean, I know we want to see Xavier Woods, but now
Balor for me.
You know, kind of looking at like Jinder, you know, it wouldn't look so bad, you know. He's a top guy. He's a former WWE champion. I know.
Let's be real.
You know, but he's a top guy. So what better way than, you know, him to win the King of the Ring?
Yeah, and I always thought it was a disservice to him, you know, because I know they were doing their India run, you know, and they thought he was a prop champion. And if you ever listen to him talk, seriously, even when he's kayfabe, he always will throw that in, because I know it deeply does bother him. Like, if you listen to any one of his interviews when he's doing a sit-down, he literally will mention it every single time that he believes people think he's his prop champ because he went to India, because he's India, and they were doing this India tour. And I think that's always a disservice to somebody that literally came back in better shape than he's ever came back in, has battled injuries, had a tough time recovering, had a lot of knee problems and things like that. And I know that would be a great feather in his cap, because they ain't going to India right now. You know what I mean? So, like, I just know, and it would piss people off. Bye, Jinder, all across the board. Jinder Mahal, baby, the modern day Maharaja.
Hope he gets a new T-shirt, man. I'm kind of waiting for the new
yeah, and then, yo, come on, that's not playing, man. I like it. I love it, because it's really true to his culture. I love, like, you know, got the elephants in there, got the like the Indian colors in there. I love the shirt. New shirt for Jinder, man. Also, billionaire, stop tweeting, man. Listen, man.
PSAs. All those billionaires watching right now.
I got a lot of weird rules. I'm eccentric. I'm an eccentric brother, man. I got a lot of weird rules that nobody gives a damn about. But that's my new rule, man. It's just because you're just so rich, I don't think you should tweet.
Yeah. Just pictures of you bathing in money. That's all it should be.
You know what I mean? Like Scrooge McDuck.
Yes.
Here's the question. Yes. Do I keep my net worth at $999 million so I can tweet? Is that how
Yeah. Yeah, if you before you hit the $1 billion mark, just keep that before billion. Like, Evan's in my head rent free right now, man. See, and the thing about it is, see, nobody cares about what I'm saying now. Like my daddy would always say, don't nobody care about nothing until you get famous. If this show somehow becomes the best wrestling show ever, and I say that, then all of a sudden it's going to move a needle, and that billionaire is going to be atting your boy. I'm like, see, why are you tweeting me? You shouldn't be tweeting me right now. It would turn into a thing. So I'm saying it right now. If you a billionaire, stop tweeting. You mean, listen, Snoop got like a marijuana roller. You know that, right?
Right. Snoop Dogg pays a marijuana roller like $60,000 a year to roll his personally roll his blunts. I swear to God, look this thing up.
It's like a king getting some of the tickets for them.
Yeah. That's got to be one of the most stressful jobs, though. Because
I think it's probably the greatest job of all time.
No, because if you mess up a little bit, he's going to notice.
Like, well, he's fired a couple people.
You know?
No, seriously. That. No, see, Brian knows the deal. Brian knows, yes.
Y'all put me on.
He looked this up after we get off this show, man. What I'm trying to say is, of course, that's two different things, but kind of not really. No, he's like, I'm so rich now, I ain't even rolling this no more. I ain't doing it. I'm over it.
Yeah, if I was a billionaire, I'd be like one of the humans in WALL-E. I would just have a chair that rolls me. Thing.
I would be too. I would just be pushing stuff and soda would come out.
Right.
Shout out to WALL-E, the most underrated Pixar movie of all time. Might be the best Pixar movie ever. But yeah, I went there. But shout out to WALL-E, yo. Yo, that's it for the Mac Mania podcast. Yo, Brian Waters, I appreciate you, man. Come back sometime, man. Stay a while.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you having you on.
Flobo Boyce, Jack Farmer, Tony Collins, stop tweeting. Mac Mania podcast.